Good morning. Good morning and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtable, part of the National Association of Mothers and Daughters. And no, this is not Dr. Bessie Fletcher that you're hearing this morning. This is Angela Huntley. I'm actually Dr. Bessie's daughter, and I know that some of you listening this morning are familiar with me, and maybe you've been on listening to the show when I've been hosting. So today I'm going to step in. I've got big shoes to fill, as always, but I always enjoy doing this part of the ministry, and it's just an exciting time and a great honor, you know, for someone to just to ask you to sit in on their ministry in their absence, you know, something that God has called them to do, and something that I know she takes on, and it's very important to her. For her to ask me to sit in for her is a great honor, and I don't take it lightly. So I'm awfully glad to be here today. Where is Dr. Bessie? You may be wondering what's going on. Why is she not on the show today? Well, we have some great things happening with the National Association of Mothers and Daughters. The evidence of God's goodness is just showing forth, and she's actually working on a television pilot today, and so she's called in another direction. So today I'm going to sit in for her. So glad you all have taken your time to listen to the show today. I know on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m., there's lots of things that could require your time. So I appreciate you taking the time to listen this morning and pray that it'll be a blessing to you. So we want to also just remind you that we're here every Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and it's a time for mothers and daughters, and not just mothers and daughters, but other you know, men, sons, they can also benefit from learning the dynamics of a mother and daughter relationship and how it works within the family. So we just encourage you to invite your friends to join us every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. as we discuss these issues that God has called us to pay attention to, and how we can live our lives according to the way He has planned for us to live them. And so I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time. I just wanted to make sure I got my introduction in. So if you're wondering why Dr. Bessie isn't here, you'll know. And today I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that's been on my mind here lately. Actually, for the last couple of days, it's been on my mind about the things that are going on with people that I know, with me and with, you know, just a lot of challenges going on in the world today. And the people of God are not exempt from these challenges. We do have these challenges. However, we have a Savior, and we're promised the victory in these challenges. That's the difference. But nevertheless, there are things that we still have to face, and there are things that we have to handle. Praise God, we have power, His power to do that with, but we still have challenges that we have to face from time to time. And I remember just last week I was thinking about one of my great aunts. Her name is Sarah. We called her Aunt Sarah. And she used to sing a song that I don't know the whole song, but I remember the chorus, and it goes something like, I believe I'll run on and see what the end is going to be. And I never heard her sing the song, but my mom used to tell me about the song she used to sing. In fact, I was so young when my Aunt Sarah died that oftentimes she's surprised that I even remember Aunt Sarah. But I could just imagine her singing that song, I believe I'll run on and see what the end is going to be. Because I imagine that there were some challenges that she faced in her life, and that song brought her comfort in that if she kept on running, she had confidence and trust in the Lord her God, that the end was going to be better. And so she would sing this song, I believe I'd run on and see what the end is going to be. And I can only imagine that she would sit there and think about brighter days that are coming ahead, that whatever challenge she was going through at that particular moment, that she knew there was going to be brighter days, that she wanted to continue on and see what how the Lord was actually going to work this thing out. And so I thought about that song, and I last week, and I just thought, you know, Lord, I'm going to run on, and I'm going to see what the end is going to be. So I want to talk a little bit about challenges and how we're going to run on in this Christian race. Now, what's a challenge? A challenge is a call to take part in a contest or a competition. Now, the good thing about it is if we're called to take part in a competition or a contest, we don't have to worry because God already promised the victory is won. So that's the good thing. All we need to do is show up. But we can't show up just any kind of way. We got to show up prepared. Prepared to face this contest. Prepared to go through with this competition. Although the victory is already won, we have to show up. And we have to have trust in the Lord our God, that we will have the victory, that it's already done for us, and that we don't have to be concerned with this challenge. But we must show up. So there's a couple of things that we must learn in order to run a Christian race. And, you know, I thought about this as I was preparing. In order to run a Christian race, I started thinking about how, in the natural, how you prepare for a race. I actually am preparing to run a 5K. This is my second time around preparing for this 5K. But nevertheless, I learned a lot in preparing to run a race in the natural. And some of the things include how to stand, how to hold your body. You know, you can't have your shoulders tight and tense. You got to relax your shoulders. You got to relax your knees, have them slightly bent. You've got to understand how to run on your feet. You know, you don't want to be too heavy on your feet. And especially if you're like me, you're flat-footed, you need to make sure you have on the right equipment so that your arches can be supported. There's a lot of things that go into preparing to run a race. You have to make sure that you have on the right clothing for the particular climate that you're running in. All of that plays into the success you're going to have in running the race. Now, as I said, my Aunt Sarah sang that song, I believe I'll run on to see what the end is going to be. Well, in order to run on, if you're going to see what the end is going to be, you've got to run on and you've got to be prepared in your running. So that was something I learned in the natural about running a race, that you just can't get out there in any kind of shoes, in any kind of clothing, in any kind of weather and think you're going to endure. There's some things you've got to learn. And as it is, the same with running a spiritual race. As a Christian, when we're running a spiritual race, there are some things that we have to know. We have to know how to endure. You know, and that involves our private and individual Bible study. That involves prayer time. That involves going and fellowshipping with other Christians. That involves attending church on a regular basis. All of this is in your preparation to help you endure in your race. Because, like I said, we know we have the victory. God has already promised us the victory, but we have to show up. We can't see what's at the end of the race if we never make it to the starting line. So we have to show up, and we can't just show up any kind of way. We got to show up prepared. Amen. So now let's talk a little bit about running. Now, again, as I said, I learned a lot in my natural running, preparing for the 5K. And one of the other things that you need to know is what kind of race you're going to prepare for. You need to know what race you're running. You know, I was preparing for a 5K. Well, you got the 10K, you got the marathon. What race are you running? So as a Christian, we need to know we are running a Christian race, that the Lord is on our side, that the word of God is our strength and is what we need to strengthen and encourage our faith. So we need to know what is involved in the race that we're going to run. Someone once told me when I first started training in the natural for my 5K that true runners don't let the elements stop them. And I'm going to say that again. True runners don't let the elements stop them. And I thought about that because I remember driving in my car, and here in, I live in North Carolina. So here in North Carolina, we have fall, we have true falls, and we have springs, and we have true winters most of the time. This year was like kind of light. But my point is, we have snow, we have sleet, we have rain, we have all these elements that are going on throughout the year. And I remember time and time again just driving in my car and seeing runners along the road. And I would think to myself, oh, my goodness, I can't believe they're out here running in this rain. Or they're out here in the snow running. And it, to me, it looks like they didn't have on enough clothes, you know, with me not at the time having the knowledge that I have now in terms of running clothes, it just looked like they just didn't really have on anything. So I thought to myself, I cannot believe they're out here running in them shorts. So are they out here running in this and that? And they're out here in the snow. And come to find out that a true runner, once you have conditioned your body to running, you can run in those elements, and it won't stop you. So let's bring that to our spiritual race. Let's bring that to our Christian race. A true runner will not let the elements stop them. So in running our Christian race, that tells us that no matter what's going on the outside or around us in our environment, whatever the climate is, if we are a true runner in the Christian race, we can't let those elements stop us. Because those elements are going to be there. We can't stop the elements, but we can't let the elements stop us either. We got to keep going. We got to keep running our race. So we're going to get in a little bit more detail as we go along. But like I stated before, in running the Christian race, you need to recognize what kind of race you're running. Okay, we're running a Christian race, and we got to understand that the Christian race is not about us, but it's about Jesus. It's about Jesus, and it's about advancing the kingdom. And those are the things we need to understand about our Christian race. And we got to make sure that we stay focused on those things because the elements around us, the things in our environment, can and will, if you allow them, distract you from running your race. And there's all types of races that people are running. So that's the reason why we need to make sure that we keep ourselves focused on the race that we're running, our Christian race, because there's people in the world, they're also running a race, but they're running a race that's different, some of them. I mean, they're running after men, they're running after women, they're running after money, they're running after fame and fortune. You know, they're running a different type of race. But in our race, we have to stay focused. We have to stay focused on what it really is about, Jesus and advancing the kingdom and allowing ourselves to be used by God how he wills us to be used. And the things that prepare you in your race is your Bible study, your individual prayer time, your time at church. All of these things are the things that we need. That's our fuel to help us keep running. Because when you are in the race, and if you're running and you haven't done what's necessary to properly prepare for the race, it will eventually tell on you because you will not be able to endure. If you have not been feeding your faith along, if you've not been constantly in prayer with the Lord along the way, then by the time you get in your race, you know, there's such thing called stamina in the natural. And stamina is, you know, your ability to keep going. It's what, when you get ready to, you know, you feel like your body's slowing down, but then there's something that just keeps you pushing and you can just keep on going, just that extra mile, that's your stamina. Well, in the spiritual race, your Christian race, those things, the Bible study, the fellowship with the other Christians, the coming to church and the individual prayer time and all of those things, that is what builds your stamina. That builds, which is your faith. So that builds your stamina. And that helps you to keep going and to not stop. I like to look at Abraham, who, you know, of course, is the father of our faith. And that's what the Bible calls him. And we can look at Abraham and just see how he has used his faith in God to manifest all the things that God had promised him. And I like in Romans, I think it's Romans 4, where Abraham is coached by God. Abraham is given promises in his life. And even though Abraham's circumstances did not seem to be in line with those promises, Abraham allowed himself to be coached by the Lord. And by doing so, he stayed connected when he was running his race. And that's an important step in running a race, is you've got to have a coach. And when you're running a Christian race, you've got to stay connected to the Lord because he's going to be your coach. He's going to direct you. He's going to instruct you. And he's going to teach you. That's what a coach does. So our coach is the Lord, and we got to stay connected to him. That's the first step in running a race, is you've got to have a coach. You've got to know your coach. And I like that one of the men of God that I study up under Keith Moore, he likes to say, stay hooked, don't unhook, don't unhook. And I like that he says that because I imagine in my mind when he says don't unhook, I imagine two people running like a three-legged race. You've seen those where they tie your legs together and you hook your arms with the next person and you two, you know, you're running together. And the difference is, you know, of course, the Lord is leading us. He's directing our run. But I imagine two people with their arms hooked together. And when he says don't unhook, I just imagine somebody's arm hooked in mine and just hooked and won't let go, just tight. You know, like Jacob wrestled with the angel, you know, just holding on for dear life, just not letting go, just knowing that I'm not letting go. I'm going to keep going. I don't care what's going on. I don't care what my circumstances are looking like. It doesn't matter what they say about me. I'm going to stay hooked. I'm going to keep running this race. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to see what the end is going to be. And I just imagine that in my mind. And when we look at Abraham, he was so faithful in believing what God said. And he had, just like all of us today, several reasons, several things. I like to say the elements around him, you know, stuff happening around him. The climate just wasn't set for him to just believe God the way he did, but he had to at all costs, no matter what was going on. He couldn't look at the things around him, the elements, the climate, you know, he couldn't listen to what people had to say. You know, he had to even ignore his wife, Sarah, when she laughed at what God had promised. You know, he had to really, really stay hooked. He couldn't let go because the enemy, he has a trick for every occasion. He has a bag of tricks, and he can pull something out. I remember, if you recall, there was a show, Good Times, and with JJ and all of them on there, and there was a character on Good Times. His name was Lenny, and I remember Lenny. He wore that trench coat, and Lenny would always pop up. Every, you know, anytime somebody was going somewhere out, Lenny would pop up in his trench coat, and I just see Lenny, and he would say, my name is Lenny. Anything you want, I got plenty. You know, Lenny just had everything in that coat. Oh, if he didn't have it, he'd open the right side, and if he didn't have it on the right side, he'd open the left side of the trench coat. Lenny had a little bit of everything. I think of the devil just like that. You know, our adversary, he's got a bag of tricks. He's got something for every occasion. If it's distraction, he can be the master of distraction. If he can keep you from praying, if he can keep you from reading your Bible, if he can keep you from going to church, if he can keep you upset and angry at what somebody else is doing or said, or if he can keep you there, then he can be over here doing something else. You see what I'm saying? He can be a master of distraction, just throwing things to get you looking left instead of looking right, and he's over here doing something else. So we got to make sure that we don't fall for that distraction. If he knows he cannot distract you from reading your Bible, from praying, from going to church anyhow, no matter if you're not really feeling that great in your spirit, you know, just kind of feeling like you need, you know, I just want to rest today. I don't even feel like seeing nobody today. You know, sometimes we're getting those moves. But if he can get, if the devil can get you stuck in that kind of distraction, then he can play over to your left, doing something else while you looking one way. He's over here doing something else. So even if that doesn't work, if he can't keep you from being distracted, because some of us, he knows he's not going to distract us. He knows we still going to do Bible study. We still going to come to church. We're still going to pray. You know, it doesn't matter what he tries to come up with. He knows he can't distract us. So then he'll come out with another trick out the bag. He'll be the master of perversion. If he can't distract you from the word, then he will try to pervert the word. He'll try to make you think that the word is not working for you. Yeah, that's what the Bible say. But that was during Bible times. This is 2012. You know, you don't see that working for you. You know, is God really going to work this out for you this time? You know, didn't you go through something like this and it happened this way for you last time? It's going to happen that way again. Or it happened that way for so-and-so, so why are you going to be any different this time? You know, if he cannot keep us from the word, then he's going to figure out a way to pervert the word. So we have to know, and we have to be very careful when we're dealing with these distractions, with these perversions of the word, and we have to know how to handle it. And let's take a look at how to handle it. Let's see what Abraham, and I just absolutely love this particular scripture. If you've got your Bible with you, if you'll go with me to Romans 4, and we're going to take a look at Abraham and see what we can learn about how we're going to deal with these distractions. Give me a second here. I'm having a little technical difficulty. There we go. Okay, let's take a look at what we can learn. I absolutely love this part of scripture. And when we go to Romans 18, it says, talking about Abraham, who contrary to hope, in all hope believed that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. I'm going to read it in New International Version. Let me do that because I love the way it's saying it here. Okay, we're going to go to Romans 4, verse 18. Here we go. I'm going to read it. Here we go. Against all hope, Abraham hoped and believed so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening, listen to this, without weakening his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith, and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. I just love that, because I love the fact that Abraham faced his situation. He knew he was 100 years old, and he knew the functions of his body, and he knew the functions of his wife's body, who was also well up in age. The Bible didn't say he ignored that, or he acted as if, you know, that was not the case with them. No, the Bible said that he faced the facts of his body, of his conditions, and of the condition of his wife. But even though he knew that, he never wavered. Even though he knew the situation, he still believed God. He didn't wallow in the fact that, Lord, I'm old. How's this going to happen? That can't happen. Is it really going to happen? You know, did I hear right? No, he didn't go there. It said that he faced the facts, but he still did not waver in unbelief. But he strengthened his faith and gave God glory and was fully persuaded that God had the power to do that which he had promised. Oh, that is encouragement today. And I often recite that and rehearse that and just meditate on that particular scripture, because I tell myself that all the time. Yeah, this situation is going on, but I'm not going to waver in unbelief. I am encouraging myself. I'm strengthening my faith, and I give God the glory, and I am fully persuaded that God is able to do that which he has promised. That's what you have to do when you're running your race. That's part of running your race. You need a coach who is the Lord God, and you've got the word of God, and you also need to be able to encourage and coach yourself. Hallelujah. So we can learn a lot from Abraham about encouraging yourself. Number two, so number one, we talked about coaching and encouraging yourself. And number two, we need to stay in our lane when we're running. Now, in the natural, oftentimes, you know, if you've ever watched like the Olympics, if a runner ever runs over to someone else's lane, not only do they lose the race, but they're tripping up everybody else, and it just becomes a major disaster. So you have to learn to stay in your lane. And so that's part of our Christian race, a spiritual race as well. We have to know how to stay in our lane. We got to understand that. And by staying in our lane, we understand that it's about Jesus. It's about advancing the kingdom, that we will not be looking over to the right and looking over to the left, seeing what this one's doing, how far that was coming. Oh, I better hurry up. You know, I'm not as good as this one, I'm not going as fast as that one. We cannot do that. Again, that is another distraction. And if we get caught up in that distraction, you can't run straight looking side to side. So you got to be able to stay in your lane. And I just love, when I think about staying in your lane, I think about a story that I read in 2 Samuel about Abigail and Nabal and David. And I think about Abigail mostly. A lot of times when we read that story, we focus in on David, you know, because David being the mighty warrior that he was, I mean, he's just awesome in that he was awesome from a little boy that eventually became an awesome king. And, you know, but I really like to look at Abigail, because Abigail, let's look at that. Abigail, she did something that was just spectacular in my eyes. Let's look at 1 Samuel, and we're going to go to, let's see here. We're going to go to 1 Samuel, and we're going to look at chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. I want to talk about Abigail for a moment. And I'm just going to give you a background, so we won't have to actually go through and read the whole thing again, the whole chapter to get an understanding. I'll just paraphrase it for you. King David and his men were coming into a particular area that was ruled by Nabal. And Nabal and his men had actually had a history with David, in that the men were herding sheep in a particular area where David and his men were. And during the time that they were herding the sheep, David and his men watched over them and took care of them and made sure that no danger, or that they wanted for anything, and no danger came up against them while they were there herding their sheep. And so when David and his men came into the area of Nabal, he sent word to Nabal through a messenger that they were in the area, and he was actually requesting some food and supplies and things like that for his men. And once he sent this messenger, the messenger went to Nabal, and let's see what Nabal had to say here. Read, and I'm gonna think I'm gonna start with let's start with verse 10. It says, "Then Nabal answered David's servant and said, 'Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away from one of his masters. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat, and that I have killed for my shearers, and then give it to men who I don't know where they are from?'" In other words, Nabal refused to send David and his men anything. He said, "I don't know David. Who is the son of Jesse? I'm not sending them anything, any of my meat and my bread." So he refused. And so the young man returned to David and told David what Nabal had said. And David, being the fierce warrior, I mean, I just love the attitude of David. I mean, even when I look back at the story of David and Goliath, I mean, you know, for him to take the attitude of as a young man, you know, to take the attitude of, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that comes up against God's people? You know, how dare you come up against me? I'm God. I'm one of God's kids, and you're going to try to come up against me?" You know, he didn't care anything about the size of Goliath. He was looking at the fact that he was what he called an uncircumcised Philistine. It's basically saying, "You're not even a believer. You're not even a true worshiper of the Lord, my God. And then you're going to try to come up against me? How dare you? Doesn't matter your size. There, you're no match." David knew that Goliath was no match for him. So I love the zeal in David, and this situation was no different. Soon as David heard what Nabal had said, the Bible says that he had commanded every man to gird up their sword, and they got on horses. He took about 400 men with him, and they were going to kill Nabal. And he had vowed that, you know, every man in Nabal's camp will be dead before nightfall. And so off they went. Now here comes Abigail. Because Abigail, she was told by one of the servants that had talked to Nabal, he said, this is what the Bible says in verse 14. He said, "Look, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he reviled them." Meaning that the messenger that David sent was reviled by Nabal. He sent them away with nothing. And the messenger goes on to tell Abigail, "But the men were very good to us," talking about David and his men. "The men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, nor did we miss anything as long as we accompanied them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us, both day and night, all the time we were keeping our sheep. Now, therefore, know and consider what you will do, for harm is determined against our master and against his whole household. For he is such a scoundrel that no one cannot speak to him." So the messenger is telling Abigail, you know, what had happened, that Nabal had rebuked or sent away David's messenger with nothing, and that David was on the way, and that harm was going to fall on Nabal and everyone in his household. He's telling this to Abigail, who is Nabal's wife. So Abigail, the Bible says in verse 18 that she made haste, that she took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep that were already dressed, 5 roasted grains, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs. So she just basically gathered up a whole host of things and put them on donkeys, and she had her servants to go with her, and she decided she was going to dismiss her husband and do the right thing because she knew David to be a man of God and that he was fighting for the cause of God. And she ran out to meet David in hopes of stopping him from killing Nabal and the whole household. And she met up with David, and she knew now that she knew that she had to stop David, and she had to basically beg his pardon and deliver those goods unto David and his men in order for her to be blessed and her household. So she could have gotten out of her lane, followed her husband in his wrongness. You know, he was so, the Bible says that his name means, Nabal means fool. So he was acting very foolish. She could have gotten over in Nabal's lane and acted like, you know, she didn't know David was a man of God, and just decided she was going to ignore the request from David. But no, she knew who she was. She knew what David was all about. She knew, and she confessed to David that she knows he's a man of God. She knows that he fights for God's people, and that she wanted to ask him to forgive her husband, and that she was going to just basically intercede in this whole situation. She was going to make sure that she right the wrong that Nabal had done. Now, if she had gotten out of her lane, what would have happened? If she had gotten out of her lane and decided that she was going to follow her husband, and that's another lesson, ladies, that we definitely need to learn. Yes, submission is definitely honored by God and it's honorable. However, you cannot follow someone out of the direction of the Lord. You cannot allow someone to lead you astray in foolish ways. And the good thing about it, because Abigail allowed herself to be led by the Spirit of the Lord, which David later on, if you read the chapter, he says, I know the Lord has sent you. She followed. If she did not, if she had gotten out of her lane, if she had taken her eyes off of the focus of who David was, that this was the cause that was God's cause and that these were God's people, and if she had not recognized that, and if she had not interceded for that in that situation, then her whole household would have been killed. Not only her husband, but her children, any male child that was in their camp would have been killed, and she surely didn't want that. So because of Abigail's obedience to be prompted and led by the Holy Spirit, she was able to stop that calamity from happening to her household. So that's another thing that we need to make sure we understand. What is this truly about? We can't allow people, we can't allow circumstances and other things get us off track. We got to know, we got to recognize, and we got to stay in our lane. And no matter what happens and no matter who's doing what, we have to make sure that we are in our lane and running our race, because that is where the blessings of the Lord is going to meet us, is if we're in our lane and if we're running our race and doing that which God has called us to do. So we find that Abigail did just that. So in this Christian race, when we have our coach, we know who our coach is, the Lord God, and that we are also encouraging ourselves in the faith. Number two, we're going to stay in our lane. We're going to realize, we're going to stay focused. We're going to know that this is not about us. This is not about so-and-so. This is about God. This is about advancing the kingdom. This is about doing that which he has called us to do. We're running in our lane. And then we can endure. And that will allow us to run on. We can run on then and see what the end is going to be. Now, the other thing is, once you get to running your race, I can only imagine, like I said, when I think about that song that my mom tells me, my Aunt Sarah saying, I would think I'll run on and see what the end is going to be. I can only imagine her seeing brighter days ahead and, you know, just thinking that something better is coming, that God has already prepared a way, but we just got to hang in there, you know. And I can just think about what it's like when you finally do reach that end, when you finally do see what that end is going to be. At that time, when we cross that finish line, and this is speaking again spiritual Christian race, when we get to that finish line, at that time, it's time to celebrate the goodness of God. And in part of that celebration, we have to make sure that we are sharing the testimony. You know, oftentimes, again, this is another trick that the enemy can pull out of his bag, and that's he could be the master of shame. And he will try to make you shameful or embarrassed about the race that you have run, making you feel like, you know, you don't want to tell anybody this because it's just too embarrassing. It's just too bad. You know, you don't ever want to share this with anybody. Once you get through this, you just keep your mouth shut and don't tell nobody about this because this is just too bad. It's going to make you look bad. People are going to think about you differently. So just don't tell anybody. You know, that's another trick of the enemy. And we can't fall for it. We got to understand that he's trying to get you to shut up. He's trying to get you not to share the goodness of God. But it's important that we do that. You know, the Bible tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Well, that is so important. The Bible says the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So we can't leave that part out. That's part of your running your race. That's part of you getting through the challenge. You have to be able to give your testimony. You know, how are you going to overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony if you don't want to tell anybody your testimony? If you want to leave the word of your testimony part out, you can't do that. And it's a trick of the enemy to make you think that it's okay to do that and that you should do that. That's not true. That's not true. So we got to make sure that we stop him and that we not allow him to shut us down, that we keep our testimony in our mouth at all times. And, you know, sometimes I see people who use their testimony as a way, they say they're, you know, talking about God, but they're really bragging. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen people like that, but I have. You know, they try to say they're talking about God, but they're really bragging. And then bragging on themselves. Not bragging on God, but bragging on themselves. And so we got to be careful with that. We've got to be led by the Spirit of God to tell our testimony. And we got to know when God opens that door that it's time. We got to be keen to that type of thing. I'll give you an example. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was sharing or speaking with a lady that she and I had attended the same church for many, many years together. And I hadn't seen her in a very long time. But we were talking, and she shared with me that she was going through a challenge right now. And I like to say challenge rather than a tough time or a hard time, because the Bible says there's nothing too hard for God. And if we abide in him and he abides in us, then there's nothing too hard for us. So I try not to say a hard time or a tough time and just say a challenging time. So she's going through a challenging time in that she's trying to find employment. And she was sharing with me that she's a single mom and she had been out of work for 3 years. And when she was talking, I knew right then that was a door opening for me, because I was able to share with her. I said, you know, I have been out of work for a few years myself. So I understand what you're talking about. But I'm so glad that my story did not end there, because I was able to share with her, but let me tell you how God fixed the situation for me. And I shared with her how there was a contract that was up, and over 200 some people had submitted for this particular contract. And I was chosen to interview for the contract. Make a long story short, it was narrowed down to two people, me and another lady, for this particular contract. And I knew when I first heard about the contract, when I read about it in the paper, I knew I said, Father, this is perfect for me. I said, Lord, this is perfect for me. And I just knew in my spirit that this was perfect for me. And when I went on the interview, I walked out like, yes, because I felt, again, in my spirit, this is perfect for me. And I just really knew that I had that contract. So when I walked out of there, three weeks went by, and finally I called and I said, I just want to check on the status of the contract. And they told me, we really enjoyed meeting you, and it came down to you and another lady, and eventually we chose the other lady. And I thought, what? And I told her, I said, well, I'm really surprised. I thought it was a good match for me. But I tell you what, and the Spirit of the Lord led me to say this. And I said to her, I said, I tell you what, if anything should happen and you find out that the person you hired does not work out, please give me a call. And she said, I will. And we got off the phone, and sure enough, 3 months down the road, something did happen, and it did not work out for that particular lady. And they called me, and eventually, and then long story short, they offered me the contract, and it ended up being the perfect opportunity for me at the time. But I later talked to the lady who was hiring for the contract. She and I had lunch. And I said to her, I said, I just knew this position was for me. And I said, and I was disappointed that I didn't get it at first, but I'm so glad that you called me back. And she said to me, she said, you know what? When I called you, Angie, she said, you were so nice to me on the phone. She said, you were very courteous to me. You didn't get upset that when I told you that, we chose somebody else. You were still very kind on the phone. And she said, when I hung up from you, she said, something told me you had chosen the wrong person for that contract. And I wanted to tell her, oh, that was the Spirit of the Lord that told you that. But I didn't say that to her, but I knew that was the Lord working on my behalf. But she said something told her, you have hired the wrong person for that contract. And she ended up coming right back to me. So I was able to share the testimony. And by sharing that testimony, it's a celebration of God's goodness and an encouragement to that dear sister I was talking to let her know that there is a job out there. Don't look at the fact that unemployment rates may be rising, not as many jobs were created this month or last month or whatever the news is reporting these days. Don't look at that. Don't look at the fact that you've put in so many applications and haven't gotten one call. Don't look at that. All you need to worry about is that there is a position out there. You cannot drown yourself in worry. Don't get distracted, but you got to do like Abraham did. You got to know that God promised to provide. He knows you need employment. He knows that you need a source of income. So you got to know that God has promised to provide, and you can't waver in unbelief. You got to strengthen your faith. You give God the glory and know that God is able to do that which he has promised. So I was able to share that, and it felt so good because I knew that everything I had gone through and what I had, the ordeal of unemployment, was something that was turned around for God's glory, and that I could use that to strengthen my sister. So it was a good feeling. So that's part of number three, is celebrating as we cross that finish line the goodness of God. Proverbs 4:18 says, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. I really like that, because the sun is not dull. The sun is bright, and it's the brightest star that we can see. So when we think about our path, the path of the just being just like the sun, the Bible says, that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. That lets you know that you don't have to be discouraged, that you can be encouraged, because God is on your side, and that God is also going to make sure that you abide in him, he abides in you, He will provide. He will take care. He will do all those things that we that he's promised us to do, that he has the power to do that which he has promised. So just stay encouraged, family, and I'm so glad that we've had this time. We've got about 10 minutes, so if there's anybody who wants to open up the lines, if there's anybody who wants to talk at this time, please let me know. Press 1 on your phone or click the button on the internet, whatever you're on, just let me know, and I'll be glad to take any calls or messages, anyone has to say to encourage our listeners today. But I want to make sure that we get the message that, you know, challenges come up in life. Sometimes we are tempted. Oftentimes things don't go the way we plan them to go. But if we abide in the Lord and the Lord abides in us, it will work to our favor. And we have to not allow ourselves to get distracted. We have to know that sharing our testimony is part of us running the race. That once we get through, that we are obligated to go back and strengthen our brother and our sister who may be going through similar situations. So I want to, again, open up the phone lines. If there's anyone who wants to say a word of encouragement, we certainly do welcome that this morning. If you have anything you want to say about our study, we absolutely welcome that as well. Absolutely. So while we're waiting, we've got about 8 more minutes into our conversation today. I want to also share with you, something that I was thinking about the other day. You know, a lot of times that when we talk about running the race and making it enduring to the end, and I was speaking about stamina, oftentimes people get so weary and they decide that they're going to unhook and they're going to go a different way, and then they begin to realize that they made a bad choice, that they should have stayed with God all along. And they don't understand that the things that we go through, God didn't necessarily order those things for us in our lives. A lot of those things we've caused ourselves because we've gotten out of the will of God, or because we decided that we didn't want to take the path that God has given us. We have a better idea for ourselves. And, you know, oftentimes that's what happens, and it causes things to go awry or to mess up in our lives. And so we want to definitely encourage you to stay hooked. Stay hooked. You know, I was listening the other day that someone was saying that, you know, their life, when one particular event had happened in their lives, and they just decided that they, you know, were getting mad with God and turning away from the things of God. And it felt like it just wasn't doing them any good in their life. And sometimes when you're in that race, you run into that situation where you just feel like you can't go any further. You feel like what you're doing is not working, and that it's not really progressing you and helping you. And you feel like you do want to stop, and you want to turn, but you can't turn around and go back to the start line, that's for sure. Because oftentimes you run so far that you just kind of stuck where you are. So this particular person got mad with God and decided they were going to, you know, not go to church anymore, weren't going to study the Bible anymore. They just going to live life, just be, you know. And eventually they began to realize that they looked empty. In fact, someone told them, they saw them going out of their home one day with a neighbor, and the neighbor told them, you know, I saw you, and something looked different about you. You just looked empty. You just looked like something was missing. And that person was just thinking to herself, she was like, I know what it is. I know what it is. I'm missing the Lord. I'm missing my fellowship with him. I'm missing being fed the word, and I'm missing the fellowship with other Christians. I mean, it was a lot that was going on, and for years they had decided that they were going to give it up because they were running the race and they felt like it wasn't really they weren't getting what they thought they should get, and they didn't understand the process of going through the race. Now, I'm going to go back to the natural example of running, because I've heard of the brick wall. You know, oftentimes runners, they run to a certain point and they run into what they call the brick wall. And what actually happens is the body physically just basically wants to stop. I mean, you can't go any further. You can't even take a step when you run into this brick wall. So I'm told. Usually this happens when you're running a marathon, and I've never run a marathon, but I've always heard about this brick wall, and it always happens right towards like the last mile or two of the marathon. And what happens is, if you could ever get past that brick wall, then you can definitely, of course, you can make it through. But it's just that one little point where it's so tough to even just lift your legs and take one step. But once you do that and you get past that brick wall, then you know, oh, you can make it to the end. Once you hit it and pass it, you're good to go. And that's what I imagine happened to this particular person that I heard telling the story the other week, that, you know, I imagine that she hit that brick wall in her run and in her Christian run, and she just didn't feel like she could lift her leg and just go another further. But she eventually got past that brick wall, and she came to church, and she got back into her Bible study. She got back into her private prayer time and all the things that she used to do. She got back into it, and she realized that when her neighbor saw her and said, there was something missing in you, I just don't know what it was. You just seemed like you were lost, like, you know, just something wasn't right with you. And she realized that that's what the neighbor saw. The neighbor saw that there was something missing, and she knew what that thing was that was missing. And once she got back, once she got past that brick wall, then she was able to endure. And so I just want to encourage everybody listening, as you're running your Christian race, and if you do hit that brick wall, just know it's just a step away. It's a step to get you through to the other side. So you just got to lift your leg up. You got to encourage yourself. And I'm going to go through these steps again. You got to make sure that you're hooked up with the coach, the Lord God, and that you are in the Word, and that you're encouraging yourself just as Abraham did. And I encourage you to go back and read for yourself Romans 4:18. Well, you don't have to start at 4:18. You can actually read the whole chapter, but I encourage you to go back and read Romans 4 and encourage yourself when you're running your Christian race, because you've definitely got to have that. That's step one. Step two, want to make sure that you stay in your lane, that you keep yourself focused on what's important, that it's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's not about your family. It's not about your career. It's not about any of these things all around you, but it's all about Jesus. And it's all about advancing the kingdom. Hallelujah. So you've got to make sure that you stay focused and you stay in your lane at all costs. Even if somebody is over here to the right or to the left trying to pull you one way or the other, you stay in your lane and do that what God has willed for you to do. So, and the third thing, once you cross that finish line, I want you to celebrate. God wants you to celebrate. God wants you to share the word and the good news of his goodness here on earth, because a lot of people are seeing the good news. But if you can go out and if you can be like the woman at the well, come see a man. Hallelujah. If you could be like her, just come see a man and share that good news just as she did, regardless of what people thought about her. She went out and she shared that with the men in that city, regardless of how they thought. They thought so poorly of her that when Jesus was seen talking to her, the first thing the disciple asked, "What are you talking to her?" That's how poorly people thought of her. So she didn't pay that any attention. Once she discovered Jesus, she went out and she talked to all the men in the city. And she said, "Come see a man." So folks, let's celebrate God's goodness here on earth. Remember to encourage your family. Remember to love on your mothers and your daughters. God bless you. I appreciate you spending this time with me this morning. And keep your eyes and your ears open for all of the mother and daughter events and activities. God bless you. Have a great day.